This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Today's guest, Ali, has particular insight into Brexit yes. and to endeavouring to stop it happening, to Noxit.
Welcome to the show.
Ali, welcome. Welcome to the Escape Hour. So just recently, you were in Europe.
I was there last year, but my anti-Brexit is actually more my drinking than my...
We're going to expand on that.
Excuse for drinking.
Well, I like to have a month of drinking every year.
Fair enough.
I started with...
I call that December, January. Yeah.
Well, I started with Rye July instead of Dry July.
Okay, I called it Lie July.
Yeah. Well, I just had whiskey every day for a month.
Okay.
And then I did February Sherry, and then I've done February, and I did January.
February?
Yeah, that was beer. And so this year I was going to do aperitifs in April, but then I was...
April's aperitif, rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, trying to... And then I thought, oh, what will I do next year for May? And I was like, oh, no, you're doing that this year. So I'm doing Remain.
R-E-M-A-Y-N. Fantastic.
And so it's a drink from every EU country in alphabetical order.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know if it was going to be the UK when I first started because, well, when I was first thinking of it, the UK was leaving on March the 22nd. So I was, yeah, but there will be English drinking on Tuesday.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Well, it's a bit like a cat sitting in front of a door. Do you want to go out or not?
Yes.
You're meowing, you're looking, but you're not going nowhere.
Yeah.
So it's rather routine.
I think it is a bit ridiculous. Actually, last year when I did go to England and I was in the queue in Heathrow and I finally got to the front and it was hours. And the woman said, oh, your partner can come with you. I said, I've just met him in the queue. And it was some American guy. And we'd been talking for an hour and a half. So she thought that we were together.
Because that's how long it takes.
That's how long it took. She was surprised. I was like, well, yeah.
Well, no more.
No.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
So give us your take on Brexit and what you see that means to the accessibility of the UK and booze exports.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the ridiculous things is how hard it's going to be for them to get alcohol in from other countries.
Yeah.
I mean, I just
think... It's a drinky nation.
It's just I just think
it's
Brexit
a wash.
Is ridiculous. I don't... Yeah. But look, years ago when I lived in England... I talked to a young fella who said, oh, you know, we beat the Argentines and America lost Vietnam, so we're a better country. And it's an attitude that many of them have. So,
well, yeah, unpacking colonialism is a very difficult challenge with a lot of people in the UK. The victors always write the history books and they've written them very well. They sell themselves as the people that stopped slavery and they omit 450 years of profiting off slavery and keeping de facto slavery in the Caribbean for many, many years after the end of it and coolieism and surfism and these weird practices they certainly benefited from. But the tale told at home is very different. And that's brought up the story with a lot of people who vote, who think that there is a special place.
Yes. Look, I mean, I think it is very similar to America, who think that they are the world's policemen.
And the highest standard of living in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
which is not.
No.
For the average person.
No.
But it's interesting too, even from like the financial system in the UK too. I mean, you know, they still use the British pound and they never sort of adopted the euro, per se. So it makes you kind of wonder were they ever really 100% into it to start with, you know?
Yes.
But I guess now since, you know, the possibility of them leaving is going to make it a bit easier for them to kind of pull back.
Well, and the amazing thing too is all the people that live in Spain and things like that and think that they should still have all their rights living there.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's all going to change, really.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of, you know, UK... residents and citizens who have property in Europe they've been able to have cheap property you know and live a very different lifestyle than what they're currently would get in the UK and that potentially can end for them you know.
And then there's the divide between London and the rest of the country and how different the two are. London's one of the most brilliant cities in the world, diverse, wildly exciting city. It's one of my favourite places, and I get excited thinking of London. And you go outside of London, and the UK changes very differently. Talk to us about your experiences in the UK.
Well,
and what
I wanted to do when I went to London was I wanted to go mudlarking. Which,
explain mudlarking.
You're both looking at me like so
sounds like something you would see in Smith Street.
The Thames is a tidal river.
Okay.
And it goes up and down, and it's also going through London for so many years. So it's always been used to throw things away.
Right.
So twice a day, kind of new things get put onto the shore. So you have to get a license and then you can go down. And it's best to go with someone because the tide does come up quite quickly and it rises 7 metres.
Okay.
Well, up to 7 metres. So you go, and I spent 4 hours on the shore in Greenwich picking up stuff, ceramics and pins and buttons and...
Found Roman coins.
Oh, my gosh, medieval coins. Roman. I got some Tudor leather.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just incredible.
So what did you do with these things?
I'm having an exhibition of jewellery in September.
You make jewellery?
Yes, yes. So I'm going to be turning it into brooches and pins. And I found a rock, and I said, oh, this looks good. And the guy that was showing me was like, I don't know. And I said, I'm taking it home. And it turns out that I've had it cut and it's just beautiful.
So are you allowed to take what you find, or...?
If it's under 300 years old, is my understanding. Okay. But you do have to have a license.
That is amazing to think that if it's under 300 years old.
Any more than that.
But that's one of the things I love about the UK. I think it's very special is the history of that very tiny island with incredible history.
And I mean, there's even Neolithic axes, I think, have been found.
What?
And things like that.
Pre-Roman.
Because it has been there so long.
Yeah.
Well, it is covered in mud and silt, and it's anaerobic, so there's no oxygen which is how you can find leather from hundreds of years ago, because it's been under the until the with the tide and certain because they change how the river goes. You know, they put in a new key or something, and that changes, and so it's different all the time. And it was a really great thing to do. And I'm going to try and go back and do some more.
How do you get a license?
Yeah. How do you? This is fascinating.
You go to, there's a website, and you have to just send off your money, and then you get a license. Right. And I will show you my license because, of course, I still carry it because it is.
And is it good for just a set period of time?
Or? So you can buy one day, which is £35, I think.
Yeah.
Or you can buy 3 years, which is £70. And you may as well do that if you think you're going to go more than once. And because it's also dependent on the tides, that what happens, you just need to... You need to...
That's cool.
You don't know what day you can go, kind of.
Right.
You know,
to know the tide schedule.
Yes. So when I went, there was only like a couple of days where it was the sun has to be up when the tide is down.
Right.
And because I was going...
Oh, right, of course.
Yeah. So there was only a few days I could go.
And is it better to go, like, say, for example, when it's a full moon? You know, obviously during the day.
Oh, yeah. Look, I know that sometimes the tide goes down much further and they find more things.
Wow.
There's lots of Facebook mudlarking groups.
Right.
And Instagram mudlarking people.
Yep.
Yeah. I went with the guy who calls himself the Mudlark God on Instagram.
So is this a bit of a subculture in the UK? Because I know going to sewers and underground.
Well, but it's become more not so sub. Like, there's an exhibition at the moment that opened this week at the London Museum about the secret rivers of London.
Yes, right.
So lots of... Yes.
So who decides if something that you find is 300 years old or under? I mean, is it an honour system?
I think it is pretty much. And you send things to a particular place if you need to, find out what they are. And yes.
Okay.
And then, of course, when I brought them back to Australia and I'd washed everything and
Because you've got all the dirt and everything.
Yeah, and I got this great pair of gum boots that were snakeskin ankle gum boots, but I couldn't bring them back because,
they'd been in the mud.
And I didn't have room. And so I got to the airport and I said, you know, I've got this, have you been in a river? Mm. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I've been mudlarking. Take that.
Yeah. And you know, I had it all wrapped and, you know, ready to show the guy, and he was like, oh, yeah, that's fine. It's like, didn't even look at
didn't
it.
Yeah, so you had no idea.
Didn't look right. at it. But I had washed it all, so it was fine, so. Yeah.
So what are famous stories about mudlarking and what things have found?
Well, I mean, mudlarking, the term comes from, skulls, you know, 500-year-old skeletons and things.
From one of Henry VIII's wives?
Well, someone I follow found a human bone the other day.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So, and I know the mudlark god has found a gun that he, you know, a contemporary gun, which he took to the police. So, yeah, but a lot of bones around Greenwich from just eating.
Right.
So,
like chicken bones.
Well, no, big bones, you know, cow bones and things like that. And so you're just on the side and it's just lots of bones. It's really,
Is that macabre?
It's really weird, yeah.
So
yeah.
Do people have, like, metal detectors and things like that?
That's a different license.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're organized. Because you're more I think you can only do a couple of centimetres with a regular license, and you have to have had that for a few years before you can get a bigger, brighter, better license.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
It's like a hierarchy.
But,
wow. And that's fascinating.
Look, I think some people just go down in their lunch break and have a look at what's there.
Have a sniff.
But
see if there's any new heads rolling about.
Yes, yes.
I'll be looking for the gold coin.
Yeah, well, yes. There's garnets.
Really?
But they're not natural. They're not native. So they think what happened, well, they don't know, but there might have been like a sack of garnets that was being brought for industrial purposes that fell off a ship sometime.
Right.
So people, I was hoping to find garnets, but I didn't.
Oh, well, there's always next time, right?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my goodness. You're on Joy 94.9. You're on the Escape Hour.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. We've been having a very passionate discussion. With Tad and Mark, we've got Ali Alexander, who's a jeweller renowned for mudlarking pieces.
Yes.
Not yet.
Getting there.
We've had a couple of new members join up because Radiothon finished last week, but we're still going. Join up. We had Chris from Hughesdale. Thank you very much for joining up. Andrew from South Yarra, family member. Thank you, Andrew, and family from South Yarra. Alan from Brighton East. Thank you very much, Alan. And we had a message in from Graham from Brunswick. Love the show, folks. You're very topical, Graham. You must have been reading tiny minds. Hey, says Graham, I'm really over the Brits and their Brexit debacle. Such an own goal and so stupid. Well, I think that we're preaching to the choir here, Graham. But can I flag Quexit, namely the rest of Australia telling Queensland to move on and quickly. Now that's an idea whose time that's Ali. You were just talking about your experiences at Queensland based off Graham from Brunswick's comment and their sartorial choices. Okay, not recently, but
let's
reflect on that.
So a long time ago I was travelling back from England where I'd been living to Australia. I decided to go via Great Keppel Island, which I don't think exists as a... Yeah, anyway.
What happened to it? Did it wash away?
I'm not sure.
Do they mind
it's still
it?
There.
I think it may have been sold. But so I flew back via Brisbane. I got to the airport and I had to find a public phone to ring my mother because it was that long ago. And I rang her in tears. I was, Mum. And she says, yes, Mum, the men here are wearing shorts with long socks and sandals. And she said, don't worry, dear. Queensland's not Australia.
I was at work.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons why you may have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They'll work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab, or head to the iTunes Australia podcast store and subscribe to your favourite shows for free. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again. Joy.
We're here with Ali, jeweler extraordinaire, mudlarkess to the stars. And we just had a quick flashback on Brexit. But one of the things that you were doing is drinking your way through Europe.
Yes.
And we were talking about Malta being one of the number one LBGTI friendly travel country of 2019. You were talking about Maltese beer being.
Yes. So I had a beer from Malta. When I first started, I thought I was going to try and do a lot more wine, but it turns out a lot of these countries just export beer. But Malta, so I found a beer from Malta at Maha restaurant.
Oh, yes.
And yes, it was really good.
Yeah.
Yes, I got to go, I went down on Sunday night and had a Maltese beer that was quite tasty and a little bowl of hummus. So, I mean, part of the reason for the drinking is it's not just to drink, but it is to find places, yeah. to go to places, yeah. to
explore.
Interesting things.
Yeah.
So what did you learn in this marvellous month of May?
Well, I've learnt that I really think I want to go to Estonia.
Okay.
Estonia was a really hard drink to find, and I guess. Yeah, I did find a blue organic blueberries. It's actually brewed in Finland, I think, but it is Estonian blueberries.
And what is it, a liqueur?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's Estonian culture? It's pretty much Slavic-ish, well, I guess.
It looks so beautiful. It's got a World Heritage town. And yeah. It just, yeah. And I didn't know there's Vikings involved and, yeah.
But it's interesting what you
so
unleash.
So it gets sexy all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And what you learn when you try to find these things that you you know Estonia is there, and you know it, you
might. I had a completely wrong image in my head of what Estonia was, and so yes.
Well, it's basically Finland, isn't it?
Scandinavia
nearly.
Yes. Yes. Oh, well, I think so. Look, I'm still not. I had in my head Estonia was much more Russian, and so to find out that
you
it's
do
much,
think that
it's not. Mm. That's what's. But it and it looks really interesting. But yes.
So that was the most shocking. Not shocking, but
The most surprising thing.
What was the least surprising?
That when I did the Netherlands, that it was Grolsch beer.
Oh, okay.
And look, money has obviously had to come into this. There's no way that I could have afforded to buy a bottle of liqueur for every country
right,
or
course.
Anything like that. So yes, was quite happy to have a Grolsch beer and happy to find out that I actually really liked it. I'd forgotten how nice it tasted.
Yeah, Grolsch is a good beer, isn't it?
Yeah. And it will probably come back.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
And what did you find the least interesting?
Look.
Because a lot of countries are famous for their exports, so you pretty much know them. And to get something out of what you know.
Well, my most... Finland was... I had seen a bottle of Finlandia vodka. I don't like vodka very much.
Yeah.
I don't like any of the grain alcohols very much. So even though I have done Rye July and January, sherry I like a lot more. And so I'd seen a little bottle of the Finlandia in Wigs, the Wigs cellars up on Queen Street, which have all those darling little miniatures in the window.
Yes.
And so I thought, oh yeah, I'll just go there. And then on the day I went there and they had sold out.
Right.
And so I was really, my Finland... Vodka, what was... So I, after work, I went to all the bars on Little Bourke Street and Exhibition Street. You know, I went to Angel Music Bar. I went to the Imperial. I went to the European Beer Cafe. I went
everywhere.
Yeah. And asking for Finlandia vodka. And then it turned out that it's a middle range vodka. So it's too expensive for house and it's not good enough for top shelf.
Oh, right.
So I ended up having to buy a bottle... a giant size bottle and make myself a dirty martini with.
Okay.
Well, vodka keeps. That's
well, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah.
If you ever vodka
I was very lucky. It turned out one of my neighbours dropped in and she said, oh, I love Finlandia. And I went, yours.
Here you go. It's your lucky day.
Yeah.
But it's interesting though. Like there's a lot of marketing behind some of these brands. Like for example, Foster's beer in Australia. Yeah. Nobody drinks it here.
No.
But outside of Australia.
Oh, yeah.
It's very well associated.
Well, the Broken Spoke in Austin, Texas is where they filmed one of the Foster's ads.
Right.
And, I was there years ago, 20 years ago, but they had an Australian football and Foster's and,
It's interesting.
Yeah, I was surprised at how popular Foster's was in the States. I knew the UK was very popular, but also mainland Europe is oddly popular.
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone drink it here.
No.
But it's fascinating too. Like even like certain brands of wine are just literally developed for, like for example, the American market.
Like the Yellowtail.
Like, you know, you didn't see that here for ages. And then
you get
overseas.
It here now.
You can get it here. Absolutely. Yeah. But overseas, you know, it's in every.
Every now store. And then I have, and I don't know how to pronounce it, Mateus Rose.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And they've just changed the bottle. But it was Saddam Hussein's favourite drink evidently.
Really?
An article I read. So 100 years ago, I was working as a temp, and I was working as a temp in an office for a day down somewhere in Collins Street. And the woman who's the receptionist had obviously been planning her wedding because that was all that was in there. And there was like 3 phone calls in the whole day. And I spent my day on the internet and reading the Atlantic Monthly, and they had an article about Saddam Hussein, and it said that even though he wasn't meant to drink, that was his favourite drink. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, my God. Of all the things. I mean, the endless money, and he buys that Schwartz. You're a Joy 94.9. If you're a Matus Rosé fan, you can let us know. You can SMS us 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. We would love to find out who is buying this stuff because it's still on the shelf, so someone's buying
it. With a new bottle.
New look bottle.
Yeah.
You're on the new look, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. This is the Escape Hour with Tad and Mark. Today we've got Ali Alexander, Jewel Extraordinaire, Mard Larkes, and booze enthusiast.
Yes.
Enthusiast. So, Ali, you were recently embarking on going around all the European countries for May and finding a drink from each country.
An alcoholic drink. And trying to do it in alphabetical order.
A, Andorra.
So, I haven't done. No, Andorra's not in it. What was the first one? Austria.
Austria.
We went to Austria. Yeah, and we went to
Goldschlager. There you go.
The Austrian club, which was just fantastic. And
on Flinders Lane.
No.
That's the Swiss club.
Yes, it's in. Oh, it's Whoop Whoop. It was 50 bus stops.
Oh, it'd be like
stops.
Heidelberg or something.
Yes, it was in Heidelberg.
Yes.
And a bus. Anyway, and so 4 of us went for lunch.
It is a travel show.
And you needed that drink after the ride.
So what did you have at the Austrian club? Because they're quite famous for their beers and their schnapps.
Yes, we had a wine.
Oh, okay.
We had a bottle of wine. There was 4 of us. It was fine.
Yep.
We did have is it Unterberg?
Unterberg, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Digestive.
Yes, we had some of that. And the Spätzle was off, which was what we all wanted to eat.
Spätzle. With the cheese one? The Käsespätzle?
Yeah. So that was a bit disappointing. But yes, it was a lovely meal. And it was a really fun place to go.
Yeah.
And it's open for lunch, like during the week.
Okay, right.
Yeah, this was a Wednesday.
Right.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we were the only guests.
Right.
So, yeah, because there's a Swiss club and then there's the German club also in Denmark.
Well, for Danish club.
That's Flinders Lane.
In Little Burke Street. Just
Little Burke.
On the Spencer Street side of Queen Street.
Right.
Third floor.
And
beautiful. It was the best Danish pastry I have ever had in my life. It was just warm and delicious and so buttery and gorgeous.
And what did you drink there? Was it the Gammelgansk?
Well, unfortunately, their wines were only by the bottle and I was by myself. So
Danish wine?
Yes.
Okay.
So I ordered an Australian wine and I thought, well, it's just going to have to be the Danish food, which was, the open-faced sandwich.
Yeah.
And then I realised they had beer as well, but it was too late. Anyway, I had a cherry liqueur, which was delicious went superbly with the walnut Danish.
It would have.
It was just
But Princess Mary is Australian Danish, so that's all right,
Tuborg beer is an option.
Yeah.
It's not a...
What was that called?
Tuborg.
Okay.
Danish beer.
Yeah.
And they have the Gammeldansk, which is a sort of a schnapps
kind of
thing, which is also very, very delicious.
Yeah. Well, I would have loved to have tried the wine, and I think I will go back with...
I did not know there was Danish wine. It was too cold to grow grapes.
And I think it would be nice, it would go well with the sandwiches. It's a lovely restaurant. It's really nice and, served really nicely.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, so where after A, B, C, D, E? Estonia.
I did. And Estonia I didn't do on the day. Spain is on Sunday.
Oh, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Well, Spain's always a good option. Yeah, Spanish food, wine, anything Spanish is usually pretty good.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah. I'm going with a girlfriend who has a flat in Spain, so.
She knows her stuff.
Yeah. So it was Austria, Belgium. Bulgaria did have real trouble with, and...
But they don't have a very strong wine industry in Bulgaria.
All I could find was a lemonade with Bulgarian herbs in it, and then I couldn't even find that. Right. It was out of stock everywhere.
I should add that Belgium is the number two country for LGBTIQ travelers. Yep, this year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Belgium's a great country.
Yeah. I'd love to go to Belgium.
Yeah.
Yeah. People say it's boring. I don't think it's boring. I think it's beautiful. No. And I think the people are very, very lovely.
They do chocolate and pretzels.
Chocolate pretzels, excellent beers.
Mussels,
yep. Beers. Their food's quite good. Yep. They've got that interesting French, Dutch, hybrid cultural background with the Flemish and the Wallons. Yeah. It's great. I've got a lot of time for Belgium and their beers.
Yes.
I have actually had to spend a lot of time in Dan Murphy because.
Are thinking that you might have a problem?
Who's going to answer this?
No, I did go there
crazy
the other day.
Stupid question.
Yeah, I went there the other day and the guy came up behind me and said, "What country?" So, yes. So Croatia and Cyprus both came from Dan Murphy and were liqueurs.
So it must be hard with some of the bigger European countries that have such a strong culture that we import, Germany, France, Spain, Italy. How do you whittle down and make a decision when it comes to such a generous
bounty? Like with Spain, I discussed with my friend where we wanted to go. Yeah. And because we were going to go to... not Bartini, which was closed. Bartini was an option on, but it's closed on Sunday. And the one in Hosier Lane. And the one next door.
San Telmo?
No. San Telmo only has Argentinian wine.
Oh, is that Argentinian? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes. But anyway, she decided on, we're going to the Spanish one in Gertrude Street.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes. Oh, yeah, such a,
that'd be good.
But England's going to be a problem too because it's my day off and will I just go for a beer or will I try and find a gin or,
Or try and find British wine. They actually have quite an interesting, innovative wine culture that's really emerging in the UK, which they don't do a lot of it, but what they do apparently is very good.
Yeah.
You know, most people would scoff at the idea of a British wine.
I'm not sure that it will be available.
Yeah. Well, I've not seen any.
Because I know a lot of countries just don't export their wine. It's not worth it for them to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Particularly when there's so much tax on it, like coming into Australia, and it's very competitive.
Yeah.
Just for volumes to get it in here and make money out of it.
Yeah.
So, make it worthwhile. But I've heard a lot of people who have tried British wines have spoken very highly of them. And it's one of those.
Well, I'd love to. Yes.
Sort of outlier.
Maybe someone can text in and tell me where to
find it. If anyone knows about British wine, let us know. Yeah. We'd love to, love to find out more about that.
Yes.
But there are lots of other things from the UK that are absolutely excellent. And gin would be up there. Are you a gin drinker? You don't like grain?
Well, I did January, but yes.
Yeah.
No, it turns out grain alcohol. Just a bit boring. Compared to something like sherry, which is wine but better.
Dee Mason just sent in a SMS and said, "Hey boys, has she told you about January?" Thank you, Dee Mason. Yes. That was rather timely, Dee Mason. You can tell us about January now.
Well, January was... I went to see this great cabaret and... which... oh, the name escapes me. But they... I will find it.
Yeah.
And it was a whole cabaret about the history of gin.
Really?
It's just fantastic.
A cabaret?
Yes.
And about the history...
of gin.
Of gin.
It's just fantastic.
That's a that's a lot.
That's a lot.
And I was watching that at the Butterfly Club and thinking, I should do a month of... And it was too easy, January.
Yeah. So what did you learn about gin? That it's incredibly diverse?
Well, that it's basically a grain alcohol with flavouring.
Yeah.
And so it just, if you like it, and it, I don't have the palate for it.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
And so I...
Is it the alcohol, the amount of alcohol in it, or is it
no,
just the...
No, just the taste is
doesn't
not...
Doesn't suit you.
Yeah, yeah. I find Shiraz tastes like dirt to me. If you give me a glass of Shiraz, I think it is a glass of dirt with red wine poured onto it. So... Which is why I thought that when I had truffles, that they would be, that truffles would be overwhelming for me. And I'm one of the 25% of people that can't smell or taste truffles.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. So it's your palate that serves you. And that's how you experience it.
I love coriander.
Yep.
But,
right.
There's people that don't.
Yeah, my ex.
Yeah. My twin.
Couldn't have.
Devil's parsley.
Yeah. Couldn't have it in the house.
Really?
Yeah. Couldn't have it in the house. Ruins everything. Everything tastes like soap flakes.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I love it.
They've worked out the gene. They know the exact gene that makes it so you taste
that's
it like
fascinating.
Soap.
Fascinating.
Yeah. To Jordan, it tastes like soap flakes.
Yeah. Right.
The whole dish, it was just tainted with coriander. Yeah. And Mexican and Thai is two favourite cuisines. It's kind of
really?
Like, Well, there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you do in your last life?
Yeah. But you could, I mean, you can definitely go Mexican without coriander. It is a last minute thing in most things, isn't it?
It's garnish. Yeah. Whereas Thai, it's cooked into things. So
Necessary.
So you've only got a couple of days left. Spain's tomorrow.
Yeah, well, it's Slovenia tonight.
Slovenia?
Oh. Yeah, so Slovakia, I haven't given up on. There is a club in Laverton, and I've emailed them to see if I can get there, but I didn't get there last night. But Slovenia, there's a restaurant in Brunswick Street that serves wine from there, so we're going there tonight.
And then Turkey is on the list?
No, Turkey is not part of the EU. They want to be,
of course,
but they're not.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, but it's part of Europe, though.
I was looking for. Yeah. I was looking forward to Turkey.
Yeah, there's some amazing
before
ones
I started, and then realized
Arak and Raki and those kind of sort of aniseedy spirits are very popular in Turkey.
But Turkish wines are quite nice.
Are they?
Mm. Yep. There's a restaurant in Balaklava called Tulum.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. A lot of the Turkish wines you can. They're really nice.
Yeah, so what are they, really Mediterranean kind of, like,
yes,
like
very
a Sangiovese?
So. Absolutely, and it's you wouldn't expect that, but they are. They're really nice, and every time I go, you know, I've gone there a few times and tried different wine each time, and they're, never disappointed.
Everyone I know who's been to Turkey says it's just fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had the owner of Tulum Inn.
Koskun?
Six months ago. Yeah, he's a fascinating guy. He's a fascinating guy.
I've eaten there. It's beautiful.
He used to be a chef at Attica back in the day.
Oh, did
before he?
Before
he started that. Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so he certainly seems to be at that sort of end of the spectrum, upper end. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so what next? You've got Slovenia.
Spain. Sweden on Monday.
Sweden, easy.
Sweden.
You don't like vodka. There's Swedish beers.
Yes. And then
is there a Swedish restaurant? Yes, of course there.
Well, Molna is a bar in Hardware.
Right. Yeah, Hardware. Named after Hardware. Thor's hammer, Mjolnir.
Yeah.
So, and then the UK on Tuesday, and then we're done.
And that's nearly the end of May.
So you've done very well.
Going to round it out with something else?
Maybe I'll get to the Lithuanian club. And,
okay.
Yeah, which again, I didn't get to. So I mean, I got there, but they weren't open.
Right, so what did you do for L then instead of Lithuania?
No. So I went to the Lithuanian club on the Friday night hoping that it would be open.
Ah, okay.
And
they're not open on a Friday night?
No, and it was physically open because they had just been filming an American series called The Preacher.
Oh.
In there for the day.
Right.
So how random. An American filming at the Latvian club in Melbourne.
Yeah, the Lithuanian. Yes.
So, the Lithuanian club.
Well, it's beautiful.
Is
the
it?
Interior. Yeah.
Is
I it? Mean, it's, yeah. So
what is it?
It's open, I think, like from 12 till 3 on a Sunday.
Okay, so it's limited like hours that. To start
yeah.
with.
Is
yeah.
there not much of a Lithuanian community? I don't think I know anyone.
It's a big, building in Errol Street.
Right.
Oh, North Melbourne.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got confused. I thought it was Laverton. But
No.
Latvian Club, Errol Street, North Melbourne. Okay, cool.
Lithuanian Club. Lithuanian.
I'm going to have to take notes.
Yeah.
I need a whiteboard.
Yes.
Now, France.
Germany. Boring.
Want to hear about the big?
Yeah, no, they were really, really boring. Actually, I'm sorry, I've got to get on my Twitter to remind myself
what
I did. I put it all up on Twitter mainly because there's another bloke. There's a bloke called Ali Alexander, who tweets a lot, and he's a black American right wing Trump supporter.
Okay.
And so I don't want...
You get confused or?
A couple of times people, because I've got at Ali Alexander. But he's at Ali, so he's
right. And I'm tipping you're not a right wing Trump supporter. Can I just guess that?
Yeah.
Just throwing the sand in the air, seeing which way it blows.
He asked me. I first heard about him because he wanted my Facebook because I've got Ali Alexander on Facebook. And I said, oh, no, and you might notice I've got .com as well. And he said, do you want the .com goes straight to the .com.au? Can I have that? No.
No, for $500,000.
No.
No, not even.
No, you can't have it.
No. So,
that's interesting.
So
there. I just ask you to give that to you.
It was very polite.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. And his tweets are quite – he tweets so much.
Right.
And it's – it's all very polite and very anyway.
Social media for you.
Italy was very delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, Italy.
Yeah. That was from a bottle shop in Hawkesburn where I just happened to be. And,
oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, is that that new place that's opened up?
No, it was just past Big W.
Oh.
Not Big W. Well, yeah, Woolworths.
Yeah, whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, and the, I mean, the most, the we had a beautiful meal at Bar Arena this week.
Right.
Yeah.
And Portuguese wine. And
just mentioned Portugal, if there was.
Yeah, yeah. And anchovies on sourdough toast that were just incredible.
Yeah, nice.
And an incredible dessert and, yeah.
Yeah.
Just beautiful. And Hungary, I happened to have, my father was Hungarian, okay. So I had some unicum in the.
Right.
I'd wanted to go to that really lovely, the Hungarian restaurant in Glen Huntly Road, I think.
Right,
it is.
Oh, yes.
But it just proved didn't happen. Too difficult.
Is there a German restaurant in town apart from the German club?
The Hofbräuhaus.
Hofbräuhaus.
That's right.
Oh, of course, yeah, just over on Market Lane, I think. Hofbräuhaus.
Yeah,
and then there would be Oktoberfest-y kind
that's
of
right.
Bavarian.
Yeah.
France got completely derailed because I went to an opening in an exhibition again in Hawkesburn. And at the Libby Edwards Gallery, and it was just beautiful and lovely. But they didn't have any French wine, which I thought they might.
Right.
And then it got very, very late. And so I ended up back at someone's house drinking the Chatel Napoleon.
Does the job.
Yep, so, yeah, it was kind of boring.
That's right. Fine. Does the job. Yeah. You're enjoying 94.9. We've got Ali Alexander, who's been talking mudlarking, UK, Brexit and Remain, which is exploring each one of the European countries during May through booze and food. You're enjoying 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Welcome back to the Escape Hour with Mark and Tad, and our guest, special guest today is Ali Alexander. We're talking all things May.
All things.
Alcoholism. I don't know.
But European alcoholism.
Yeah, European alcoholism. Yeah. In a fun way. And
yes.
Well, I kind of, one of the reasons I start, well, the reason I did Rye July was I think if you give up, and I know that he's not, you know, correct, but if you give up drinking for a month, your liver would get out of practice. And it would be like you're not walking for a month and then suddenly going back to it.
You know, I
don't know if that's how it works.
Don't think so.
All things in moderation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, this is not talking about going out and getting drunk. It's exploring the drinks. And a drink a day is not unhealthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything in moderation is, you know, and we advocate that because some people in our community particularly have significant challenges with drug and alcohol addiction. So, we like to be... endorse moderation.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, it is a big part of an adult life is to be able to consume alcohol responsibly. Mm. And Europe is famous for its booze.
Yes.
It's a big part of European life and cuisine. And even in Turkey, which is sort of on the cusp of Europe and Asia, they also, in a primarily Muslim country, have a significant alcohol culture.
Yeah.
Because it's been there for years.
Yes.
It's been there for thousands of years.
Exactly. It's part of it.
Yeah. So wine and I think it's called raki in Turkey, arak in Lebanon.
Yeah,
basically the same drink.
Yeah,
The aniseed mixed with water goes very white.
Maybe I'll have something more interesting. Next year, maybe I'll do something.
Yeah.
Although, what would you advise next time to get this done? Because some of these countries are a bit quirky to try and find the products in Australia. They make them.
Yeah,
but where do you get them?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, me and the Google.
Right.
But I should have probably started researching a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard back from the people from the Slovak Club, even though I have emailed them. But I think, why would they want to talk to somebody who just wants to come and drink?
Drink a glass and then leave.
Yeah.
Oh, you never know. Maybe it's just in somebody's inbox somewhere they haven't.
Well, some of these cultural clubs are also quite small and very community. And some of them are people who migrated after the war and they're older and they're the people still organising things.
Yes,
and the younger generations haven't embraced it.
They do have a Facebook page, so maybe I should just post on them.
Page. Well, that'd probably be one of the grandkids. Look.
Yeah, that's right. You set it up for them.
I've had some dealings with the German club and it's pretty much... there's a lot of older people who will write down a note and leave it next to the phone on the wall.
I went to the German club a couple of years ago. For Oktoberfest for some reason, and met some lovely girls from Korea. who were working in the kitchen there on the tram on the way home.
Really?
And yeah, they were studying at William Angelus and working at the kitchen there.
Interesting.
And we were talking about kimchi and they said that you should have kimchi with blue cheese.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's different.
Not, yeah. I like kimchi. I have it for breakfast.
Yeah, I like kimchi.
On sourdough toast with a poached egg.
Yeah.
But oh, wow, yeah.
It's
don't know about with blue cheese, though. It's
yeah.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm cautiously optimistic. Ali, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm
thrilled about Mudlarking. I'm going to go and find out a bit more. Next time I go to the UK, I am definitely going to set aside some time to throw £70 at a license and get out there and lark around myself.
Yes, it's really fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because London's always, it's been a long time since I've been to London. I can't wait to go back. It's one of my favourite places ever. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. It's such a great city.
Well, and I've got the exhibition, I'll get you.
Yeah, that's
let us know. And you've got an exhibition right now, haven't you?
Exhibition. I'm on my way to see Gavin.
Yeah, who was our guest in Word for Word just before this show.
Yes, down at 45 downstairs.
But that's his go-to gallery, isn't it? He has a partnership with them.
Yeah.
So, fantastic.
Exciting times.
Excellent. Well, enjoy that. Give Gavin best from Joy 94.9. I'm sure he doesn't need it. I'm sure I'll see him at Misery Guts soon where he's perched. Are you another St Kilda local?
No.
Okay, yes. He's certainly warmed the windows of many a St Kilda establishment over the years. And I wish him all the very best. Tad?
This is it for us.
This is it for us today.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.